I live 1 mile east and a half mile south of Colton, South Dakota.
Women don't like this question, but how old are you?
Oh, I'm 87 and proud of it.
Oh, that is something to be proud of. Where did you live when you were a child? Did you grow up around Colton in South Dakota? Or?
Oh, no. I was born on Hawk Creek Farm, about 4 miles west of Wilmar, Minnesota. And in 1924, my parents moved to Timber Lake. And I think about in 1926, moved on to Faith, South Dakota. And then in 1928, moved out to the old ranch where we still go out when we ever get a chance. It's still in the family.
Oh, great. Where is that at?
Oh, that is between Faith and Sturgis, South Dakota. Meade County, you know.
Okay.
The antelope pasture. I was 8 years old when we moved out there.
Do you remember how old you were when Pearl Harbor was attacked?
Well, gosh, Pearl Harbor, that was 40s, wasn't it? Yeah, I was out gopher hunting with a young man when we heard it on the car radio. I must have been 19 or 20 probably. Yeah.
What was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, of course, we were shocked. Yeah, very shocked.
Were you scared at all?
Well, I suppose I didn't understand the total gravity of the situation. We just knew that this is very bad. And that some of the young fellas that I grew up with were probably on one of those battleships that was sunk. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After Pearl Harbor, did you find yourself listening a lot to the radio to keep tabs?
Oh, yes. Yeah. A lot. Mm-hmm. My parents had a radio, a little battery radio, in their house. It was a car radio. And they saved the time pretty much for news and weather. Once in a while, Amos and Andy, Ma Perkins, yeah, but yes, yeah, we listened to the radio. And then I was a rural school teacher, you know, just shortly after the, at that time. And I had a little 1,000-hour battery radio, so I could just play my radio and listen to lots of good music in the evening. Incidentally, I was batching, staying right in the schoolhouse, you know. Had a brother that was over there as soon as we were in war in Europe. And so, of course, we listened very closely.
Mm-hmm. How did that affect your family, particularly your mother, having a son over there?
Well, she was very brave, and they were very patriotic people. My parents, but he was wounded in D-Day and not expected to live, but he got patched up and lived until just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Swede was a West Point graduate, and it was in the Normandy thing, I think, that he took a bullet and so the war for him was ended. Yeah.
Did you know he was going to be part of that first invasion?
Well, I suppose we did. We, you know, after all, he was a soldier. Yeah.
Do you remember when it was announced, the invasion?
Yeah, I think we were kind of listening, and we said, oh, boy, yeah, the invasion is on, and yeah.
How did it change for your life back in South Dakota? Did it change at all, the war?
Well, sure it did. All the young men went to service, a great many of them. And it was mostly just the younger kids just out of high school where there were two sons in a family or something, the younger. And we gals worked in the hay field, rode a mower or a rake, dump rake then, or a bucker. They had an overshot stacker at that time. Our equipment was much different than today's. But these young men that were left behind, I remember my mother-in-law said, "These boys are expected to do men's work." And they were really just kids, and yes, they put in many long hours, and I think we kind of forget about those. You're doing home front thing. Yeah, we kind of forget about the real sacrifices that they made too. Kids just out of high school wanted to go on to veterinary school or this or that. No, you go home to the ranch. We need you. You have to help out here.
How about for you? As I understand, there was a huge shortage of teachers during this time. Did you want to be a teacher, or was that something that?
I had to be a teacher. My father was a teacher. My three older sisters were teachers. I really wouldn't have wanted to do anything but to stay and be Mama and Papa's little cowgirl. But Dad said, "Well, Katie, I'll always have a milk stool for you if that's what you want." But Mother and the girls thought, no, you must. And so I did. I went to Black Hills Teachers for 1 year, got my first grade certificate, and then went out to teach rural school, a little one-room school. But I liked it. It was good.
Did rationing affect you? Tell me about rationing.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I don't think we suffered too much. But you had to have coupons to buy sugar. I remember that. I don't, we were so self-sufficient out there. Even in the Depression, Pop would say, "Well, we might wear patches on patches, but we live like kings," because we had all this wild fruit on the creek. Choke cherries, buffalo berries, wild plums, wild grapes. And so Mother was very good at making jams, jellies, sauces, wine, even a little bit, not much. And of course, we had good beef and dairy products. Yeah, Mother always had a good garden, even in those dry years. There was a big ridge to the south in the road. And so in the road ditch, when we would get a good rain, she had that channel to bring it right down over her garden. And no, we lived very well.
You mentioned how that time, sometimes it's easy to forget the young men that had to step up and take on these roles as men at young ages. How did it change for women, though?
Really, for us, we were always part of the haying crew. So it, and I would go out and check on the cattle and stuff, but a lot of women had to go out and work, doing the chores and stuff to keep things going. But most of the women out there kind of did that anyhow. So things didn't change too much. We just probably had a little more work to do than we would normally have done.
Is there a specific story you can share with me that demonstrates how patriotic the nation was at the time? Maybe it's just one scene or one event that happened that sticks with you.
Oh, gee. I don't know. I know that many young men were volunteering, my husband, one of them. And we were married then in 1942, June 5th. And I tagged him on. He was a cadet, an Air Corps cadet. Tagged him all over from base to base to base and so forth. He normally would have been a good little old sheep herder, you know. His dad had scads of sheep, but they were, and his father had another son that also volunteered, and then a younger son that was my younger brother's age that I remember those kids really working, you know, with the big brothers gone. The South Dakotans out there were as loyal as bunch of people as you could find.
Let's talk about your husband. What's his name?
Glenn Albert Weiss. Yeah, he went overseas, I think early November of 1943.
And did you know where he was going at the time?
Yeah, he was a bombardier on a B-17 crew, and they were going to England. And of course, the mission was to wipe out munitions factories and so forth. And they were shot down on their third raid, January 11th. And that was a big raid. He had written in his diary, maximum effort tomorrow, big raid or something like that. And that was the last I got from him from there on, 17 months in Stalag Luft I.
He was a prisoner in Germany.
Yeah, Stalag Luft I, which Barth was the name of the little town where the camp was just outside of. And he described it as being out on a peninsula with the Baltic Sea roundabout, so nobody was going to swim to England or anything. It was cold and a long ways. And he would tell about looking out from camp and seeing this beautiful church in Barth. Had a high steeple, you know, and that was just something that they could see that kind of reminded them of home, civilization.
How was that for you? For 17 months, you didn't know if he was alive.
Well, you just, I was grateful for having a job and these little kids keeping me busy. Yeah.
Did you think about him a lot?
Oh, I guess. Indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
What was the most prominent emotion you felt during that time?
The most prominent emotion. Well, you just said your prayers from day to day and kept on doing whatever needed doing and looked to people around you and if you could help a little here or there, whatever. That's the way everybody was out there, though.
Were you angry at all?
I guess not. I mean, this is a stupid war, like all wars are, and we're in it, and what can we do, you know? Yeah.
Tell me of the news when you found out that he was alive and he was in a prisoner of war camp.
You know, I was telling you, I followed from place to place where he would be stationed, and we, bunch of us wives, got to be very good friends. And Catherine Pangle, the wife of Captain Pangle, he had seen in the Stars and Stripes a picture of some prisoners of war, and he knew that Glenn was one of them, and the navigator for that crew was another one in the picture. Catherine sent the picture to me, and I got it up at Opal, South Dakota, where I was teaching school, stopped by the little general store and post office to pick up the mail. That was the first we knew. Mom and Dad were taking me back to my school that Monday morning, and that was the first that we knew that, hey, he made it. They were being interrogated in the picture. And then years later, after he's home and all, and I drug the old picture out again, he says, you know, when they marched us out there that morning for interrogation, We thought we were going to be shot. And, this happened to so, but they just interrogated them and decided what camp they would go to and so forth. So, yeah.
How did you feel towards the Germans, the Nazi Germans and the Japanese?
Glenn, he was a bombardier, got the gun grip shot out of his hand, took his ring finger pretty much off, and so forth. And of course, they all had to bail out. And he landed in a field. Some little boys came out with pitchforks and marched him into Grandma's house, where Grandma looked at this and washed his wound and bound it up. And Glenn said, we never could have any real hard feelings against the German people themselves because they were just people like we were. And they were starving too. The prisoners of war in that camp on average lost about 30 pounds apiece. But he said, if it hadn't been for the Red Cross, and we heard that today too, I don't think we would have made it, is what he, and the other fellows said that too. And he said, yeah, we were starving, but so were the civilians. So I don't think he had any real hard feelings against German people in general.
How about did you see any of the films coming out of Hitler's army and what Hitler was doing to make you have ill will towards him?
Not really, no. You see, we were 40 miles out from any theater and didn't watch, and television wasn't yet for us. So, and no, I don't think, of course we felt like, oh, this is terrible. But you almost felt sorry for people that were sucked into this thing. And yeah, we did not like Hitler for sure. Yeah, and the Gestapo and all of that stuff. Yeah.
So do you remember when you heard that the atomic bomb was used?
Yes, I do.
What was your reaction?
I don't really remember my reaction, but yeah, we knew that the war was pretty much over, Jimmy Doolittle. By this time, war in Europe was done, and the boys were home, and so we were up at Glenn's parents when this news came over the radio, and of course I think kind of jubilation almost that, well, this ends the war, yeah, pretty much, and we were getting ready to go out to California in a little 1935 vehicle we had because Glenn said, well, we have to go out there for repatriation and what else. Anyhow, what it amounted to was they got the prisoner of war's boys to come out, put us up in a wonderful hotel on the seashore, the ocean front, and took us all over to sights to see. I think we spent probably a week there, and then they were doing paperwork for the boys, getting their records updated. And they could decide, did they want to go back into service or did they want to be done with the Air Force, Air Corps, I think it still was then. Anyhow, that was kind of a fun and recreation. They took us on trail rides and good swimming out there on the beach. Yeah, we had a good time. And I think we were kind of lighthearted at that time. The boys were home, the war was over, life will go on, and it had. has. So, yeah.